Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Soleri Report. I'm sitting in the most beautiful home and looking over the gardens of Basel, Switzerland, and I'm joined by Daphne von Bock, and we are here to talk about vaccines because you have impressed one of my favorite allies in the world, Thomas Meyer, who, as of today, I'm referring to, it's like living with Yoda. And you've done several pieces for The Present Age, which he's very impressed with. And we met the other day at his salon. And I confess to you that I have struggled mightily to understand what the goal of vaccines are. And I cannot tell you how much time we've spent on the Soleri Report investigating vaccines, watching documentaries, reading books, and I find it to be one of the most baffling subjects on the planet. So it's a pleasure to have some illumination from a real expert. So please, let's start by you introducing you, your background, and how you became interested in vaccines.
Yeah, I am a doctor and a psychologist. And I am an anthroposophical doctor. And I worked for a long time in a clinic for chronic disease, an anthroposophical clinic, in two clinics for chronic diseases. And
that was in Canada or Europe?
I'm born in Canada. With 8, I grew up in Argentina. With 20, I found anthroposophy in Argentina.
Uh-huh.
And I changed my life. I started studying psychology, and at the end of psychology, I met anthroposophical medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And decided this is a revolution, and I have to be at it.
Mm-hmm.
And decided to study anthroposophical medicine. I came to Germany to learn German for it, and
mm-hmm.
started in an anthroposophical medical university.
Mm-hmm.
Here. In Germany.
Mm-hmm. So you speak English, French, German...
And Spanish.
And Spanish. Wow. Okay.
And this person who taught me anthroposophical medicine the first 3 weeks which I had in Argentina, that was Dr. Otto Wolf. And with the time, he became my teacher. I accompanied him in many conferences. And he is the doctor who wrote the standard work for doctors to learn anthroposophical medicine.
Mm-hmm.
I inherited all his books.
Mm.
And give them out again. There are 8 books.
Mm-hmm.
3 are for doctors and 5 for people who are not doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked in this clinic for 15 years. I was in these 2 clinics. The last 3 years, I was the chief of the clinic.
Mm-hmm.
About 10 years ago, I started giving conferences
mm-hmm.
from what I had learned from Dr. Otto Wolf. And at the moment, I give conferences in the Far East,
mm-hmm.
4 or 5 countries in the Far East, in the East, Russia, Ukraine, Serbia.
Mm-hmm.
And I have started in the United States, Canada, mm-hmm. Cuba.
Yeah, you were just in New York.
And going back
yeah.
in February.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're going to let me know so that I can post
yeah.
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
It is very important to look at modern medicine and what is really justified that it does and what is not justified that
right.
it does. Where is the real strength of our modern medicine and where it is not strong. And when we speak about vaccination, it is always very delicate because it says, modern medicine says, it's one of the biggest success of modern medicine.
Mm-hmm.
The chemical medicine, antibiotic, antipyretics, anti. All the chemicals and the vaccination. It says that the overcoming of all the infectious disease, which were a plague until 1900, the overcoming of these infections is thanks to them.
Mm-hmm.
to the antibiotics, to the anti-therapy, and thanks especially to the vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at the statistic and at the charts of the statistic, you see that this is not true.
On vaccines or on antibiotics or both?
On infectious diseases.
Ah.
If you take, for instance, tuberculosis,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to show you a chart. If you see the chart like this, and you see here at the top is the moment where the chemical modern medicine started.
Mm-hmm.
And a little bit later came the vaccine. And you see this graph, which is the quantity of diseased, of people who were sick, or the quantities of death from a disease. And you see that the chart goes like this. The further you come in the years, the less diseases. Then you think, wow, this is wonderful.
Except it's also the same line for modern sanitation systems.
And if you look like this, you see that already the infectious disease were decreasing before they started.
Right.
You will have to put this picture in it. For instance, if you take tuberculosis. Now, this is the quantities of death in England and Wales in the year 1840 down to the year 1970. Now, if you really look at it, I'm really sorry, I thought it was going to be a film,
mm-hmm.
but I maybe can explain it that one can understand it through listening. 4,000 people per million who were sick on tuberculosis would die in the year 1840. And if you see, 100 years later, 1940, only 500 people were dying of tuberculosis.
Right.
It's 10%. There are 3,500 people who are not dying of tuberculosis.
Right.
Compared to 1840.
Right.
We would be really proud if that would be thanks to our modern medicine. But it's not.
The majority of the drop came before the modern medicine.
The modern medicine came 1945.
Right.
It was without the medicine. 90% of the badness, of the malignity of the disease was already gone from itself. But
so,
if you take it like this, you think, wonderful, if you put everything, you hide everything until 1945, and you start with 1945, but it was only a little bit.
Right,
which
so,
it helped.
So there you have tremendous improvement in sanitation systems and water systems and nutrition, all sorts of other things going on.
Especially, you see, the biggest jump from 4,000 to 3,000
uh-huh.
was done in 10 years, in the first 10 years.
Do we know what caused it?
In the 18 to 1820 was the Industrial Revolution.
Right.
And people died of hunger in Europe.
Right.
It's incredible that we cannot imagine it. But the Industrial Revolution took the job away from the people.
Yeah.
It started with the weaving, and they weaved for their life and
right.
lost.
Right.
You cannot, a machine weaves much quicker, much, they really hungered. We started with the machines, and we had no social net
yeah.
to help people.
Yeah.
It was the hunger, which you see already 1850, the state started putting himself and helping people so that it started stopping. But of course, hunger makes you weak.
Yeah.
Not only your body, but your whole immune system.
Yeah. When was the practice of washing hands introduced? Do you know?
That was a little bit later. You see, for instance, here, we didn't know that there were bacteria. We didn't know that there were bacteria until 1880. And you see, already 1880, already there were only 2,000 dying, not 4,000 anymore. Right. Already half of it were not dying anymore. And we didn't even know that there exist bacteria.
Right.
We found, first of all, the bacteria against tuberculosis, 1882. It was around here where all the bacteria at all were found. There was not any chemical against bacteria at the time because we didn't know that it was. And this is the period where the washing of the hands started getting important,
right.
Where hygiene started getting important. So you see, it's multifactorial why mm-hmm. the diseases went down.
Right.
But our statistic, if you look at them, they are done like this. And this is a lie.
Mm-hmm.
It's not any more scientific.
Right.
And here you can see that it is thanks to modern medicine that tuberculosis went down, decreased still. And it's not true, because you see, it's a huge difference here with how much went down, how much it decreased in thanks to a whole bunch of other reasons without any of these chemicals.
Right.
And it is the same with the children's disease.
But if I were to show you the profits by investors during the same period, what I would show you is something that looked like this. X marks the spot. So as the tuberculosis was coming down, the profits to the investors of the pharmaceutical companies would be skyrocketing.
I understand.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is not only tuberculosis is not the only disease, but most of the disease stopped with the time because there was less hunger, there was more hygiene, like you say, the washing
right.
of the hands. You can see it with the children's disease, with measles. You can see here high up the measles, how many children died of measles. And you can see 1860, a whole bunch.
Now, this is in the UK or Germany?
This is now
England and Wales.
In England
yeah.
and Wales. And you can see here, 1960, it was almost zero. And 1970 started the through and through that every
the
child
vaccination
would be vaccinated
right.
and through the whole people would be vaccinated.
Right.
And it is the same story with, for instance, with the whooping cough. You see, 1910, the whooping cough was very, very, a lot of people died of it. Now this is, I think,
Switzerland.
The whooping cough is very, very bad, 1910. And the vaccination started 1945. All this modern medicine started after the war, 45, 50,
so the
60.
Drop started, it was almost eradicated before they introduced the vaccine.
Exactly.
Right.
So this makes a big question with the vaccine.
Because one of the great lies, and it's amazing how effective the lie is, that vaccines have been a success story and they've eradicated the disease, and it's just not true.
Exactly.
Right.
That's the essence. It is not true that there is a decrease in infectious diseases because of modern medicine.
Right. It's before the modern medicine.
It was already before. Not in all disease. There are two diseases. This is why with vaccines you have to have a look. There are two diseases which really left because of the vaccine. The one is the smallpox. The mm-hmm. other one is the polio.
Okay.
The smallpox really was rid of with the vaccine, but you have to know the vaccine was extremely dangerous.
Okay.
It gave the children an encephalitis, which the smallpox was not so often the encephalitis like with the vaccine. There were a whole bunch of homes for defected children
mm-hmm.
who were filled with these children who had the side effects of the vaccine. It was a dangerous vaccine, but it eradicated the smallpox. There is effectively no smallpox
anymore. But smallpox didn't cause a lot of deaths, did it?
It didn't cause so many deaths. It did cause a bit of death, but you have to see in the poor people who were hungry,
right.
they were the ones who were affected from it.
So they really died of lowered immune systems, not smallpox.
Exactly, but, only secondary of smallpox.
But was the vaccine more dangerous than the disease?
The vaccine was more dangerous than the
disease.
Than
the disease, right.
And this is why it is actually not very logical and rational to have, but it's finished.
Right.
So it's not a discussion anymore.
Right.
Polio is the other disease. There is, for instance, there was in Germany a polio epidemic in the 50s, in the 1950s. And there were two vaccines. There was one which was an injection and there was one which is orally. They started with injection and it didn't help at all. And then they started with the oral and that really helped to stop the polio.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to know the oral vaccination is an imitation of the natural infection.
Mm-hmm.
It goes through the stomach. The natural infection, you play in the dust and there are a couple of bacteria of polio. You eat them with the dust and your stomach gets a notice of it and strengthens itself against the polio. And when he finds it again, he kills it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really an imitation of the natural way. And that really stopped the polio so that there's almost no polio anymore in the world.
Mm-hmm.
There is still polio a little bit. Smallpox, there is none anymore. It's not completely eradicated. But it is the illusion of medicine. The same way they eradicated smallpox and polio, they will eradicate all diseases.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't find a sense in the disease. But there is a meaning in the disease. Now you have a question.
No, you go forward because you know what my burning question is.
Yeah, I will come to it. So you see, it is like this. It's a complicated thing. Vaccination helped to overcome a small amount of infectious disease. A big amount was already going smaller and smaller and less a long time ago. And it's a lie that it stopped all the infectious disease. Now you have in Germany 15 different vaccinations which are recommended. In Germany, 15 different sorts of, you can vaccinate against 15 different diseases. You should, it's a recommendation. You don't have the obligation, like in China or like in the States, you are not obliged, but it's a recommendation. And they recommend you to vaccinate against 15 different diseases.
Mm-hmm.
And they start as of the third month of age.
Mm-hmm.
And now if you look what sort of vaccinations are in it, there are different sort of categories of vaccination. There are none which is so dangerous like the smallpox vaccination.
Right.
None. This is important to know. They all are not 100% no, not dangerous, but they are 99% non-dangerous. And the smallpox was really too dangerous. But you have from these 15 vaccinations, you see I made here a list. You have especially two diseases which are extremely important. And this is, because of your question, the most important ones, which I'm going to talk about. It is the children's disease. They vaccinate against measles, scarlet fever, which is not so dangerous,
right,
like it was in the Middle Ages.
Mm-hmm.
So measles, scarlet fever, German measles, the children's disease. And for the adults, the flus. It is what I call the children's disease for the adults. And about this we're going to talk about. The other diseases who you should vaccinate against are either for diseases which are non-existent, almost non-existent in the first world, in the rich countries. And these are polio, diphtheria, tetanus, and rotavirus. Enteritis, when you have diarrhea with rotavirus, they are extremely rare, and to tell you the truth, it's not rational to vaccinate against them.
Mm-hmm.
If there comes again a polio epidemic, then you can do this polio again the way they did it. But for years and years to try to eradicate the polio by giving a vaccination to all the people, it's not rational.
Right.
Then you have the harmless diseases. If people are healthy and not hungry, then you have a whole bunch of harmless disease where the recommendation comes. It is the whooping cough, the chicken pox, the haemophilus, you call it haemophilus, haemophilus in English.
Encephalitis?
Haemophilus. It's a flu. Haemophilus in German. Here.
I don't know.
It's here. Haemophilus. It's a very strong flu. And it has all sorts of dangers if you are immune depressed. But if you are not immune depressed,
right,
you just get a very big cold.
Right.
And then you have the pneumonia. Bacteria and the meningococcus.
Meningitis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is, first of all, the meningococcus is only for one sort of bacteria. You have many meningococcus bacteria, and it's
right,
only against one sort. And second of all, if you're healthy and you're not hungry, you will not get a meningitis.
Right, right.
So it's all these harmless disease, or if you're healthy, which I would not vaccinate either. Then you have the hepatitis B virus. It's a very sensitive virus. When it's dried, it doesn't infect you anymore. This is why you have to have intimate contact, sexual contact with the person, or kiss mouth to mouth. If it is, or with the injection, with the needle of an injection. But the needle of the injection has to be really fresh. If the needle is half an hour in the air, it's dried and you can't infect yourself anymore
right,
with it. So it's ridiculous to vaccinate the whole population, especially children with 3 months who gets... They will never get a hepatitis B virus. Only if their mothers have hepatitis B and then they get it through the milk. But this is an absolutely individual and very rare situation.
Right.
And then you have the human papilloma virus.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, it's the first time that one vaccinates against cancer, and it's not really proven enough.
Right.
What is good? First of all, if it really protects you from the cancer, second, what does it do on top of it?
Right.
I would not, and the uterus mouth cancer is not so common. The breast cancer is very common. But the uterus cervix, the uterus throat cancer is not very common. Cervix carcinoma is not very common.
So to me, there's not just a question of what the individual vaccines might do to you. You know, particularly in the United States, the problem is the heavy schedule of many, many, many is loading bodies up with toxicity. So in America, the toxicity from vaccines is a very serious problem because some people's bodies,
exactly,
some children's bodies can't throw it off. Right.
And the foreign protein, which is in the vaccine, I would not, you see, they are all diseases which are actually not very important.
Right.
Either the it doesn't exist in this part of the world, or if you're healthy, it's not so bad, or it's an individual problem, or with a papilloma virus, it's not really known what is happening. They don't have really very long studies on it. So to take something which is foreign and which is not just like this, I would not take it.
So
without really any big danger.
So let me tell you an interesting fact about my history.
Yeah.
I worked as an investment advisor for 10 years.
Yeah.
And I started to work as an investment advisor because I had so many people coming to me asking me about their investments. And the reason they were coming to me is something had happened which caused them to lose faith in the established system being trustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
And in many, many cases, that something was vaccine injury.
Mm-hmm.
So you had wealthy parents who were extraordinarily responsible, who loved their children, who'd done everything in their power to make sure their children had excellent healthcare, excellent upbringing, excellent. These were people who pay a lot of attention and are very responsible and have the resources to be responsible, and still their child was injured by a vaccine. And as they researched and studied and tried to help their children become healthy again.
Can you remember which vaccine?
I would have to go back and look at my records, but there were many different. Mm-hmm. First of all, there were many different families, many different fact patterns. But what would eventually happen is after they had endured lie after lie after lie related to vaccination, they started to say, if the healthcare system is managing this many lies, what in the world's going on in the financial system? They would make the leap. So here's what I could never figure out. What I could never figure out, you have all these fairly wealthy families who have the time and resources to get to the bottom of, you know, sort of the lies of vaccination. What I could never figure out, and through them, what I saw was the effort to suppress the information and the manipulation, the sort of politics of the lies. What I came to the conclusion of is there was some reason, and it wasn't just corporate profits. It was much bigger, much more strategic than corporate profits. There was some reason that they wanted heavy schedules of vaccines. There was a serious strategic reason why they were re-engineering the bodies and immune systems of the human race. And so my question became, why? What is the goal here?
Okay, and this is, I'm going to only talk about the ones where I can really tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Because the other ones, I cannot really tell you. It could be that it is in the same direction.
Mm-hmm.
But the one which I can really tell you what happens with it, this is the children's disease and the flu. When a child is born, it's born with 99%, okay, 95% the protein of its mother.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of the father. This is, of course, decisive. Without mm-hmm. the father, no child.
Right.
But the big quantity of the protein of the child is the protein of the mother.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why we have the diseases for the children. The typical children's diseases have two symptoms: high fever and rash.
Mm-hmm.
Why high fever? How do you dissolve something? How do you destroy something?
Yeah, you burn it off.
You burn it off. You need heat and you need water. If you have a cube of sugar and you want to dissolve it, you have to put it in coffee, water. If possible, in hot coffee, and then it dissolves the quickest.
Right.
So this is why we have the children's disease. High warmth, where the foreign protein is being dissolved. You can see it in the urine. All the rest proteins are excreted through the urine, and it's really dark. And in a second moment comes the rash.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the second part of heating all of the protein out through the skin.
So they're burning off their mother's protein.
Yeah. And they fall from meat, you say in German, die fallen vom Fleisch. They fall from the meat. They get really skinny.
Mm-hmm.
What is meat? Protein. Mm-hmm. They are falling from the protein. This is why it's so important. If you don't want to have complication of the children's disease, not to put the fever down.
Right.
Point one. You have to know that children don't die of fever. Nobody dies of fever. The old people have problem with fever because the heart beats quicker mm-hmm. when you have fever. The
right.
old people have problem, but children have a healthy heart.
Right.
And fresh, they can support 40 fever with no problem.
Right.
You have to know that they don't die of fever.
Right.
That it's, if you push it down.
Right. The people who die of fever are the mothers who are scared to death.
Nobody dies of fever.
No. But yeah. I used to do a lot of babysitting when I was a teenager. And if a child got a fever and it scares you to death.
And this is terrible because this is a rest of the time of the Middle Ages where there was high fever and they died. But they didn't die of the high fever. They died of the underlying disease.
Disease, right.
The plague or what it was, cholera.
Right.
So not only you don't die of fever, the fever kills the bacteria and the virus.
Right.
If you put the fever down, then the bacteria and the virus can go to the heart, can go somewhere else. It's high sensible to have fever.
Right.
So the children's disease. It is extremely important that they exist so that you change. Even the mothers use, as they existed still, the mothers used to say, before the disease, my child is so... He has no patience. He's not
healthy. He's toxic.
He's not well in his skin.
Yeah.
They used to say in German. He's really not well in his skin. He used to get the disease. High fever, they put them to bed. He had to sleep or to doze. There was no playing around with television, no playing around with the computer. They even put the curtains so that no light comes for 3 days. And afterwards, he was his natural, normal well. Because he had grown out as a spiritual being. He had grown out of this mother protein. And he had to burn it out. This is why he was unsatisfied. It's like when you walk on a shoe which is too small.
Right.
He had to burn it out and get it out.
Right.
And once it's out, he starts eating like a giant. Mm-hmm. And he constructs his own protein, which each person of us has absolute a different protein than the other person. This is why it's so difficult with a transfusion of blood, because when you transfuse blood of somebody else into your own blood, immediately your body notices it's a foreign thing.
Right.
It's incredibly important that the child has another protein than his mother. And if you don't have the children's disease, it's much, much more difficult.
So, in fact, if you don't have the chance to have these high fever diseases as a child, you're not as healthy, you're not as strong.
Exactly.
Right.
Because you have foreign proteins in yourself. And I let that on the side, but the children's disease, and if you don't have the children's disease, at least that you have, that people let you have other high fevers with colds, with bronchitis, that the fever is not stopped so that even if you don't get to the rash, at least you can destroy much of the
right.
protein. And the same with the flu.
Now, what about the flus?
The flu. You make your own protein when you're a child. You make it also when you are in the puberty. When you're about 21, you have your own protein.
Mm-hmm.
But when you are 21, you have one protein. And if everything goes well, when you are 70... It has changed because between 20 and 70, you have changed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important every year, every 2 year, maximum every 3 years, that your protein gets a bit different.
Right.
And for that, you get the flu. High fever, 38.5, 39, you don't get such a beautiful fever like a child, but also the difference between your protein with 20 and with 70 is not so big like in between the protein of the child and the mother. It's still your protein. It's enough with 38.5 with 39. But you need this to adapt and make a new protein for yourself to feel again well into your body, a protein which now fits much better to your spirit. And if you don't, to a certain extent, if you always take the vaccine of the flu and don't get any flu, the problem is that your protein stays with 70 like it was with 20. You mummify in your own body. It makes it difficult for you to mature.
Mm-hmm.
Observe it. You want to change yourself, you can't, you get a flu, and it functions.
Right.
It really stops you from being yourself if you have old proteins, from being that what you want to be.
Now, did the flu vaccines really prevent against the flu?
Not really. They are on top of it. It's the same problem like with the meningococcus. They have 1, 2, 3 different flu virus, but the virus of the flu have a whole bunch of different viruses. And if you get just to another one, which you haven't vaccinated, then you get it. It doesn't work very much. And there is a sense in having the flu.
Right.
And I come to the end. This was all known. There is a fairy tale from Grimm's of the three field cutters, They were the surgeons of the time. They would go to the fields and heal the wounds. And they are especially good. And they come to a simple hotel. And the man who owns the hotel wants to see what they can do. So the one cuts his hand. The other takes his heart out. And the third one takes his eyes out. And they say, tomorrow morning, we're going to put it in again. And you will see it will function. In the night, the cat goes away with the three organs. And the young girl who did this because she left the door open where the organs were there is afraid. And her boyfriend, who came to visit her, says, no problem, I have the solution. And he says, there is a robber who has been hanged. I will cut his hand. And the cat who took the organs, I will take his eyes. And there is a pig who has been killed. I will take his heart. So when in the morning the field cutters put these organs inside of them and say goodbye, and the hotel chief is very impressed, they go, and already the one with the pig's heart goes into the garbage, moves with his nose, and they try to stop him. And he says, I know it's bad, but I can't stop myself. And then they come in the evening to another place, a hotel, and somebody is counting the money. And the one with the hand of the robber goes and steals a little bit. And the other one, the other two say, hey, what are you doing? He says, I know, but I can't stop myself. And the third one, with the eyes of the cat, when they all are lying in bed in the night, they sleep, and suddenly the one with the cat's eyes sees all around mouse and wakes up the other ones and says, don't you see the mouse all over the place? And they don't see anything. But they realize that they have been kidnapped. And they go the next morning back to the old hotel. And the hotel chief gives them a lot of money, but they say at the end they would have preferred their own organs. You see, when you have a protein which is foreign,
right,
you cannot really complete your real evolution and your real mission on Earth. If you ask me why all these vaccinations, I can tell you why these vaccinations of the flu and of the children's disease. It is obviously not known to 99.9% of the people.
Right.
But there is an intention that people are not independent and not, you know, people who are really independent, they are difficult to manipulate. And people who are all the time not really feeling well and doing things which they don't really want to do, you can manipulate them much more. People who are really in themselves, down to their big toe, it's much more difficult. I don't know about the other one. I told you why it's irrational to do the other ones. I don't know what they do on top of it. I know that there are people who really, since their vaccination, I know a couple of them. It's not so seldom, it's not so rare that I don't meet them. I have now right in my head four which I have already met and tried to help them after. They immediately, 1-2 weeks after the vaccination happened, that they had this disease or this disease and really bad diseases. Schizophrenia or epileptic attacks.
Seizures.
Which
yeah.
they always have. It's really bad disease, and it's really in contact in 1 or 2 weeks after the vaccination, some the next day after the vaccination. I know many people who have vaccination. Not many, but I know a couple of people from these vaccinations, but from these, you cannot really tell. You only can tell, for instance, there is an increase in the autoimmune diseases where the body does not recognize, one says in normal medicine, it doesn't recognize its own protein.
Right.
I have the feeling that it recognizes that there is foreign protein, maybe mother protein there, and attacks it. It's not autoimmune, it's mother immune or foreign protein immune,
right,
which they haven't been able to get out.
Right.
And, yeah, if you ask me what is the biggest danger. The biggest danger is this and not the disease of the children.
So I would say it another way. Where I come out is the system is not trustworthy. So I don't trust the system. And my feeling is I don't want to put anything in my body unless I proactively have very good, sound reasons to think that I'm better off for taking it in. So if I don't have that, I'm not taking it in.
Exactly. I think we have to really think. We are in a time of apocalypse.
Right.
And in the apocalypse, the good is called bad.
Right. And the bad is called good. Right.
We have now to judge for ourselves.
Yes. Yeah.
This is why I tried to give in the hour. It has become an hour. I have tried to give a basis, a rational basis to make the decision.
Uh-huh. Yes. Well, this has been very useful. I appreciate it very much. I know you had an article in The Present Age.
It will come out. It is not out yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we can link to that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I will send it to you when it's ready.
Okay. So before we close, any other... Do you have a website or a way for people to keep up with you?
I am on Facebook.
Ah.
I have somebody who is organizing it for me.
Uh-huh.
Because he wants to organize a big event, a weekend in Romania in March.
Uh-huh.
He opened up, first of all, Facebook for me. And there I give him all my data and he puts it in.
Okay, so I'm going to make sure when you come to the States...
Under my name.
We publish something. But you'll keep me posted so that I can link to it. Okay, well, thank you very much. This has been fascinating. And now we go to a salon, right? Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Salieri Report. Thank you very much.